Hello, everyone. I'm almost finished discussing the sex work industry. I'm going to start the correct way. This is ACLU.org/news/LGBTQ dash. I said it right, slash sex work is real work, and it's time to treat it that way. So this is the American Civil Liberties Union website. So this is written by Lala B. Holston Zinnell, Trans Justice Campaign Manager, June 10, 2020. Again, sex work is real work, and it's time to treat it that way. Sex workers aren't always a part of the conversation about police brutality, but they should be. Police regularly target, harass, and assault sex workers or people they think are sex workers, such as trans women of color. The police usually get away with the abuse because sex workers fear being arrested if they report. If we lived in a world that didn't criminalize sex workers could better protect themselves and seek justice when they are harmed. Pause. Here's my personal opinions coming in here. I think police officers who violently crime sex workers and police who crime sex workers in all kinds of ways, in any kind of way, should experience prosecution to the fullest extent of the law. I dare say lengthy prison sentences. I prefer life in prison without the possibility of parole. And we should live in a world where sex workers shouldn't have to protect themselves by themselves. We should be protecting sex workers alongside them. And a lot of times the police will pursue sex workers, chase after them for sexual gain. And then accuse the sex worker of something nefarious or something criminalistic when the police think they're about to get caught. And they'll even do this during investigations, during trials, court trials. And it's just all fucked up. It's all extremely fucked up. That's even the police, some of them will sex crime sex workers, and they make it look like the sex worker was the sex criminal, not the police. That's also fucked up, extremely fucked up. I think any law enforcement official who does that should be permanently banned from law enforcement. All their licenses, certifications, and training should be revoked from them. And they should never be employed anywhere else ever again. That's how serious I am about this. Protecting sex workers from police violence is just one of the reasons we need to decriminalize sex work. It would also help sex workers access health care, lower the risk of violence from clients, reduce mass incarceration, and advance equality in the LGBTQ plus community, especially for trans women of color who are often profiled and harassed, whether or not we're actually sex workers. I'll also add lower the risk of violence from managers, pimps, etc., and so on and so forth. I'll throw that in too. In 2020, the call for decriminalization has made progress, but there are still widespread misconceptions about sex work and sex workers that are holding us back. Some even think that decriminalization would harm sex workers. That isn't true. There are five reasons to decriminalize sex work that would protect sex workers, help hold police accountable, and ensure equality for all members of society, including those who choose to make a living based by self-governing their own bodies. This is what I'll also add, help hold managers and pimps accountable. And if I add anything into this, it means that I am in strong 100% agreement. I'm just saying there needs to be more put into what is being written so everybody can be lovingly covered. I mean, lovingly addressed. Everybody can be lovingly addressed. Here we go. Decriminalization would reduce police violence against sex workers. Police abuse against sex workers is common, but police rarely face consequences for it. That's partly because sex workers fear being arrested if they come forward to report abuse. Police also take advantage of criminalization by extorting sex workers or coercing them into sexual acts, threatening arrest if they don't comply. Criminalizing sex work only helps police abuse their power and get away with it. If sex work were decriminalized, sex workers would no longer fear arrest if they seek justice, and police would lose their power to use that fear in order to abuse people. Decriminalization would make sex workers less vulnerable to violence from clients. Like the police, sex workers' clients can also take advantage of a criminalized environment where sex workers have to risk their own safety to avoid arrest. Clients know they can rob, assault, or even murder a sex worker and get away with it because the sex worker does not have access to the same protections from the law. Sex workers became even more vulnerable to abuse from clients after the passage of SESTA/FOSTA in 2018. The ACLU opposed this law for violating sex workers' rights and restricting freedom of speech on the internet. SESTA/FOSTA banned many online platforms for sex workers, including client screening services like Redbook, which allowed sex workers to share information about abusive and dangerous customers and build communities to protect themselves. The law also pushed more sex workers offline and into the streets where they have to work in isolated areas to avoid arrest and deal with clients without background checks. Decriminalization allows sex workers to protect their own health. Sex workers sometimes go without medical care out of fear of arrest or poor treatment by medical staff if it comes out that they are a sex worker. And because the law doesn't treat sex work like a real job, sex workers do not have access to employer-based health insurance, which means that many cannot afford care. Criminal law enforcement of sex work comes with unjust police practices like the use of condoms as evidence of intent to do sex work. As a result, some sex workers and people who are profiled as sex workers may opt not to carry condoms due to the risk of arrest. This puts them at risk of contracting HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases. Decriminalization would advance equality for the LGBTQIA+ community. Sex work criminalization laws impact the whole LGBTQIA+ community because members of the community, particularly LGBTQIA+ people of color, LGBTQIA+ immigrants, and transgender people, are more likely to be sex workers. The passage of anti-sex work laws like SESTA/FOSTA harms the community by dramatically decreasing incomes, which further marginalizes members of the trans community, people of color, or those with low incomes to begin with. Trans women of color feel the impact of criminalization the most, whether or not we are sex workers. Police profile us and often press prostitution charges based on clothing or condoms found in the purse. We can't go about our lives without fear of being targeted by police. If sex work is decriminalized, police would have one less tool to harass and marginalize trans women of color. Sex workers, and especially trans women, would be more able to govern their own bodies and livelihoods. Decriminalizing sex work would promote the message that Black trans lives matter. Decriminalization would reduce mass incarceration and racial disparities in the criminal justice system. The criminalization of sex work feeds the mass incarceration system by putting more people in jail unnecessarily. Those incarcerated tend to be trans and slash or people of color, two groups that are already disproportionately incarcerated. 1 in 6 trans people have been incarcerated and 1 in 2 trans people of color. Incarceration is violent and destructive for everyone, even more so for trans people. While incarcerated, trans people are often aggressively misgendered, denied health care, punished for expressing their gender identity, and targeted for sexual violence. An arrest on charge of sex work can result in life-changing consequences that last long past the end of a sentence. A criminal record can prevent you from accessing an accurate ID, jobs, housing, healthcare, and other services. It could also lead to deportation for immigrants. Members of the trans community and sex workers already face discrimination in many of these systems. A criminal record further marginalizes and stigmatizes being trans or engaged in sex work. Decriminalizing sex work would be a major step toward decarceration and reducing racial disparities in the criminal justice system. It would keep sex workers from being harmed by the collateral consequences of a criminal record. It would help prevent the marginalization of sex workers and destigmatize sex work. How to decriminalize sex work? ACLU has supported decriminalizing sex work since 1973, and it became an official board policy in 1975. Since then, affiliates across the country have advocated for decriminalization at the state level by striking down laws restricting sex workers' rights, such as condoms as evidence laws. The fight continues in 2020 with active decriminalization bills in several state legislators and advocates pushing elected officials like district attorneys to take pledges to not prosecute sex work. At the federal level, Congress has introduced the Safe Sex Workers Study Act, which will study the effects of SCSTA/FLSTA. There's a chance for progress if we educate each other on sex workers' rights and pressure elected officials to decriminalize. Sex workers deserve the same legal protections as any other people. They should be able to maintain their livelihood without fear of violence or arrest, and with access to health care to protect themselves. We could bring sex workers out of the dangerous margins and into the light where people are protected, not targeted by the law. I agree with every word that I just read to you. I'll also add the same things they say about decriminalization would make sex workers less vulnerable to violence from clients. Throw in pimps and managers, okay? Do that too. Other than that, we're good to go. So, just saw this article, by the way, and I am so going to read this. PayPal and Venmo are shutting out sex workers, putting lives and livelihoods at risk. In order to show a commitment to human rights, civil liberties, and sound technology policy, it's imperative that PayPal and Venmo provide transparency to their users. This was written by Layla B. Holston Zinnell. Everyone should have access to financial services. Using financial intermediaries such as PayPal and its subsidiary Venmo can make or break one's ability to work or survive in our increasingly virtual society. In spite of this, platforms like PayPal and Venmo continue to boot sex workers and other users off their platforms with little due process. The ACLU has joined 22 other civil rights groups in demanding a stop to PayPal and Venmo's practices that harm vulnerable communities by shutting people out without due process. Policies that criminalize and stigmatize sex work and ban sex workers' access to services disproportionately harm Black, Brown, and trans communities. Many people are already aware that when sex work is criminalized, sex workers are more vulnerable to abuse. Clients may take advantage of sex workers' inability to call authorities for help and are more likely to commit abuses and face no consequences because they know that sex workers coming forward could mean arrest. Sex workers also fall prey to sexual abuse and extortion from police officers. Not as many people are aware that the criminalization of sex work makes sex workers more vulnerable to financial censorship, and a lack of accountability by tech platforms. Public platforms like PayPal and Venmo, who should offer their services to all users without discrimination, will randomly and with little warning shut down the accounts of sex workers. This targeted freezing of accounts without warning or due process is extremely harmful to workers relying on that income and ends up pushing sex work deeper into the shadows, enabling more abuse that goes unaccounted for. Sex workers are no strangers to tech-based discrimination. The passage of SESTA/FOSTA in 2018, a bill intended to stop the internet from being used for sex trafficking, caused online platforms to ban harm reduction anti-violence tactics that keep sex workers safe. Platforms such as Redbook that allow sex workers to advertise online and share tips on dangerous clients were taken offline, forcing many trans women of color back onto the streets with no recourse against malicious actors. In addition to blocking the accounts of sex workers, PayPal routinely targets users for speech protected by the First Amendment. They have frozen the account of News Media Canada for a payment to submit an article about Syrian refugees for an award and terminate services to a user for using open source software that enables anonymous communication. They also come under fire for stalling efforts to provide bail support to Black Lives Matter protesters. The censorship of sex workers is just one piece of the puzzle. The power wielded by PayPal has wide-reaching implications. In order to show a commitment to human rights, civil liberties, and sound technology policy, it's imperative that PayPal and Venmo provide transparency to their users. If they decide to close an individual business account, they must provide meaningful notice about the particular terms of services provision that was violated. Users should have the opportunity to appeal the decision in a timely and efficient manner. PayPal and Venmo must be invested in providing non-discriminatory financial services to all users. Without these safeguards, tech platforms will continue to be the arbiters of acceptable cyber speech and activity, and trans women of color will pay the biggest price. There's nothing for me to add other than I appreciate Layla and I thinking the same. We're thinking the same thoughts. Here's how strippers are surviving the coronavirus pandemic, May 13, 2020. For some strippers, the pandemic has been catastrophic when it comes to how they make a living. 7 years ago, Chase Kelly, who began working in strip clubs in 2001, has been a full-time stripper since 2007, created Survive the Club, a consultancy that offers success coaching to strippers and solidarity for the stripperhood. Based in New Orleans, Louisiana, Kelly has become a source of support and wisdom for her dancer clients and her over 46,000 followers on Instagram. So when the dude, I'm sorry, I misread something. So when the coronavirus pandemic began spreading across the U.S. earlier this year, Kelly became a frontline worker at the intersection of the pandemic and strip clubs, providing counseling support for dancers who, due to the nature of their work, found themselves in dire circumstances. Here, Kelly talks about how the coronavirus has changed the strip club business, why taking things online isn't the same thing when you strip for a living, whether or not the coronavirus will wipe out the strip club industry altogether. Susanna Breslin, when did you first realize that the pandemic was going to radically change everything about this business? Did you recognize it immediately, or was it for you and others a more gradually realization that the sector would be slammed? Chase Kelly, in early March, I knew things would change for a while, but I had no clue how widespread the pandemic had actually become due to lack of testing and tracing. I remember on March 4th hearing that an airport employee at LAX had contracted. Then the first week of March, I started watching videos of people who had been on lockdown for over 30 days already in Hong Kong, and the first stories of people in quarantine in Italy had surfaced. I prepped my apartment and expected a 30-day pause on all activities. At the time, I went between optimism and doomsday panic. Mid-March, Bourbon Street was completely boarded up, and I realized I wouldn't be back to work for a while. Early April, I had come to realize that some clubs would remain closed indefinitely, and the ones that didn't reopen would either take a very long time to do so or open at the risk of becoming new grounded zeros. Wrestling, what's the number one concern you're hearing from dancers? Kelly, early on, it was housing, food, and childcare. I posted every dancer's Venmo and Cash App who DM'd me saying they were in dire need on my Instagram. It was in the hundreds. Currently, I hear a lot of questions about internet security, webcam, and internet marketing. I doubt that the reason I stopped hearing about housing issues is because the need for it has disappeared, and I worry about my community members who don't have access to basic needs. A lot of strippers also have bad luck getting through to or approved for unemployment. Some have said that they are too intimidated by the process to apply. An astronomical number of us is uninsured. I don't think our community at large has even reached a point on the hierarchy of needs to recognize the importance of prioritizing it. Right now, many of us are surviving day by day. Breslin, what do most people not realize about how this business has been impacted by the COVID-19 crisis? Kelly, we're all out of work. There is little our clubs will do to help us. Still, some have been incredible. I've seen clubs that post their entertainers to social media profiles, OnlyFans links, and payment info online, which is really important because many of our regulars have no idea how to contact us. I've seen other clubs go silent, and a friend of mine's club refused to pay her out money she's owed from past shifts, and she can't go after it aggressively because she needs to work when the reopening finally occurs. There isn't a blanket answer for the industry, but the thing I'd be most pleased about when we reopen is the full retraction of house fees the fees dancers pay to perform. Most strippers pay between $20 and $200 a shift to work, and a portion of their earnings is garnished by the clubs on top of that. The fact that we start our shift owing money is something that is a questionable practice all the time. But during uncertain earning times when we are risking our lives to be there, it should be a given that clubs let us work without paying a fee. Breslin, how are dancers managing the transition to going online? Kelly, not all dancers are going online. We have different situations and skills, but are overall a very resilient workforce, so we're doing all kinds of things. To transition to online sex work requires special circumstances that we don't all have. Privacy in a space that looks appealing to stream from, a computer or laptop that is in good condition, access to makeup and wardrobe. Mine is held captive in my locker at the club. It's been months since I've been able to apply mascara. And if they really want to be successful, a tripod and some nice lights. The competition out there is thick, and the models who have been working the internet a long time have home court advantage. Additionally, it's a privilege to be able to take your business online. You need to be willing to be out as a sex worker because while it's unlikely your parents or civilian associates will find out you work at a strip club that you drive 3 hours to dance at, your porn will be discovered. Online work can also be more labor intensive if you're used to the strip club model. Clubs are very cut and dry in the way that they operate. Prices are set, you get into a routine. Streaming is different. You can't read a person through a screen by studying their body language and nuance and simply cater to their fantasy. Online, the sparkle needs to come from the performer, so it also takes a different type of creativity. But again, strippers are doing things other than webcam. Lots of my friends are doing grocery delivery. Some of them are nurses and mental health care workers. Some are volunteering at food banks, and one close girlfriend works in a lab that is processing COVID-19 tests 24 hours a day. I think intimacy is important and really supports mental health by providing basic human connection. Sex work saves lives, especially during a time when we are all separated. I think something that would surprise people is how much intimate care providers also provide for other community needs. These brave workers are saving people's asses in more ways than by showing theirs. Not that showing their asses isn't having a positive impact on the world right now, but because it is, but these asses also deliver your food and provide your health care. Wrestling. What do you see next? Will coronavirus decimate the strip club sector forever? Or do you expect to see this business to return to business as usual one day? Kelly, no, you can't take us out. It'll change things for a while, but people always need entertainment. Sex will always sell. We are always going to find a stage to dance on. We're the most tenacious workforce I've seen. Many things have tried to snuff us out, but we aren't going anywhere. Clubs will close, but in their place, new clubs will open. not giving up my art form anyway, so we'll have to find a way to make it work. Maybe if we're lucky, we'll see the return of the Peep Show in the US. Lastly, what about club clients? I assume some women have been able to transition their clients from the club's online sessions. Do some clients still seek out real-world sessions and are dancers providing them? Kelly, unfortunately, misguided laws have made it almost impossible for many of us to keep in touch with clients. Even taking a business card is an act of solicitation in most states now. It's a frustrating anomaly in the sales world. It would be like telling a nightclub promoter they can't take a guest's phone number because they might sell drugs instead of a VIP table, or a car salesman they can't sell a sports car because the driver might speed during the test drive. If you follow the rules, which I do because I work at a strip club and like my job, we don't have any regular customers as contact info. My Instagram followers have been more essential to me than my club clients, but I bet I would be in much better shape financially had I been allowed to share my info with my customers without being accused of doing anything other than my actual job. If entertainers are fortunate enough to have client information, I hope they are maintaining those relationships so they don't dry up. Wrestling. What have you found to be the most inspiring thing about how dancers are handling the pandemic? Kelly, we've been really quick to help one another financially, spiritually, and physically. We've been great at staying in touch with our friends, giving advice on how to get benefits, sharing money-making opportunities, hosting free workout and yoga classes, and self-care practices among ourselves. Personally, I launched Self Care Sundays via Survive the Club's Instagram Live with weekly guests who share unique perspectives and skills that have been helping our workforce stay afloat. I'm honestly never not inspired by this community. I'll probably be a part of it in one way or another until I'm 100 years old. Wrestling. Sex workers are among the most hurt and least supported in this crisis. What can people do to help? Kelly, support directly. I don't think there's anything more positive on a sex worker's life than individual financial support and a message that you care what happens to them. If you know a sex worker who is struggling, just ask their preferred method of online transfer and pay them. If you know a sex worker who is an artist and is selling art on OnlyFans and Patreon, buy and subscribe. No one is forcing you to look at their content. If you want to see someone succeed and survive, tip them. You should also call your reps and ask them for a pill. FOSTA/SESTA. I am so on board with that. And tell them that you support full decriminalization of sex work. Yes. Woo! FOSTA/SESTA has made it even harder for workers to safely share content online. And full decriminalization will eliminate state governance over people's autonomous bodies. Speak the truth, Kelly. Speak it. Not to mention it will wipe out these dumbass laws that keep me from getting my customers' Twitter handle. That is motherfucking truth. There's not Kelly said all my thoughts, so there's nothing for me to add. Right, so let me. Go in this direction. All right. So independent.co.uk. This was written Friday, November 25th, 2016, written by Heather Saul. There are a few who would expect the word feminist to be followed by porn star. Fewer still would preface porn with ethical, but Mary Arriet, 25, is one of the new generation of adult performers is skewing mainstream adult films and choosing only to work ethical projects. She has appeared in 20 adult films, including a female-centric erotica produced by feminist adult filmmaker Erica Lusson, offers another side to the argument recently made by Pamela Anderson that porn is corrosive for men and a threat to the survival of the family unit. I say that Pamela Anderson is strongly misinformed. That is my personal opinion. But negative perceptions of sex work, especially when it comes to porn, are difficult to shift. By the way, I love female-centric erotica. I absolutely do. But negative perceptions of sex work, especially when it comes to porn, are difficult to shift. Porn is polarized. When it comes to real sex on screen, Who is harmed by it and who benefits from it? The performers, viewers, neither or both? Is porn, depending on the genre, exploitative or sexually liberating? And crucially, who actually has the right to laud or condemn it? Is feminist, female directed erotica the answer to the myriad problems within porn? My personal opinion, yes. I think porn, depending on the genre, is sexually liberating. I don't think performers or viewers are harmed by it. I think they benefit from it, you know, the real sex on the screen. I'm just saying. And crucially, as the who actually has the right to laud or condemn it, people like me who are human rights minded. Is feminist female directed erotica, which I appreciate, the answer to the myriad problems within porn? Yes, such as the growing demand for performance in 18 and a disturbing trend, or 18 to look much younger, declining rates of pay, and a growing demand for more extreme content. Yes, because if it's feminist female directed erotica, there's no such thing as human rights abuses when it comes to ethical feminist porn. So there you have it. I plan on being an ethical porn performer, so I would only choose to work in ethical projects myself. So Maria Riot, we think the same. Misconceptions about sex work often make their way into media coverage, and conservative voices can dominate debate. Young female performers typically cycle out of mainstream porn in a year, but Riot has no plans to ever leave the industry. Personally, I think that is awesome. Once I start my ethical porn performing, I am never leaving the industry, ever. In her own words, she explains why. What are the biggest misconceptions about adult actors when they do as a job? Society in general holds prejudices about sex. That is true. If people know that someone works with their own sexuality, they often think of it as quote unquote weird or as a thing they've never do, and sometimes they marginalize sex workers. We all know I hate that. I used to have misconceptions about porn actors, so I understand if people have them. They're sometimes presented as superficial and dirty people from a moral view. I hate morality competitions, and I hate needless stigmas and foolish prejudices. I hate those. But thanks to the internet and that there are more articles appearing every day about porn performers talking about their lives, people are realizing that we are human beings. Duh, that's my message to society. That we do a lot of things besides having sex on a camera, that we can talk. And just thinking about the beauty of rationality here, have opinions about everything we want, and that we're like everyone else except for appearing naked in videos and getting paid for it. Self-explanatory to me. Wow. There's this quote that would be said later. In terms of the other part of this article, it says porn performers go to the supermarket, have families, feelings, desires. Sometimes we don't want to have sex. Ding, ding, ding. High brain power usage. How differently are you treated by people because you work in porn? Sometimes people don't believe me when I tell them that I work in porn because they have a stereotype in mind about what a porn performer is. But generally, I have a lot of support. A lot of people are interested in the details of my life because for most of them, it's the first time they have talked with a sex worker, so they have a lot of things to ask. I have friends, and I frequent places that are open-minded and pro-sex. Solid. I'm not used to being around people who would treat me different or bad way because of what I do. That is good. I'm glad she is unaccustomed to mistreatment. I hope she continues to be unaccustomed to mistreatment. She has well brain power usage. I love this. Why did you decide to work in adult films? I was always interested in work related to sexuality. When I found that there was another way to work and do porn, I became obsessed with it. I had that same feeling. I discovered Amarna Miller's blog and videos by Erica Lust, Crash Pad Series, and Courtney Trouble. And I just said, I want to be a part of this. Me too. I was a sex worker already. I started to feel more comfortable working with my body and my sexuality. So I just started writing to the producers and companies I liked. I always knew that I didn't want a regular job. Yeah, I don't want a regular job. I do not. I do not. This is one of the reasons why I podcast. This is one of the reasons why I started my writing career. You know, I'm gonna have my book series. I am not regular job minded either. Now, this the people who have them. It's just not for me. I could never keep a regular job for more than 2 years. It's either me volunteering for summers or 2 years. Either way, I couldn't do it. I can't do it. My mind doesn't think like that. And I'm gonna tell this truth. This is my personal opinion. I've always wanted to be a sex worker, not because of attention seeking or any superficial materialistic reasoning. Mine is more of, I want to unconventionally present to people healthy nudity, healthy sensuality, healthy eroticism, healthy sexuality, healthy tasting, healthy touching, healthy smelling, healthy seeing, healthy hearing, healthy vocalizations, healthy noise makings, healthy expressions, healthy interpersonal dynamics, and healthy intimate relationships, healthy interpersonal relationships, healthy intimacy dynamics. So that's why I've always wanted to be an ethical porn performer and a feminist porn performer, an alternative porn performer, independent porn performer, right? Those are the kind of sex works that I want to do. Plus, I'm a healthy voyeurist and I'm a healthy exhibitionist, so go figure, right? I've always wanted to be a positive porn performer. I also wanted to be a filmmaker, director, producer, marketer, executive, senior staff, leadership, even founder in the world of ethical porn, feminist porn, positive porn, alternative porn, independent porn. I want to be a performer, director, producer, marketer, founder, filmmaker when it comes to, for the last time, ethical porn, feminist porn, positive porn, independent porn, alternative porn, right? So I want to do all these things. You know, that's how I feel, for sure. I just wanted to be an executive, senior staff, leadership when it comes to all those types of porn I just mentioned previously. She said, I always knew that I didn't want a regular job. I feel the same as you already know. I wanted to have a job not only to earn money. I wanted to work in something that could politicize and do things to change how society is. I think becoming a sex worker has been the best decision of my life. Wow. Wow. When she says politicize, she's talking about bringing healthy tension in order to get healthy attention. And so those sentences I just read to you are the same reasons why I decided I want to work in adult industry myself. So yeah, Maria and I, if we would hang, we would get along just fine. What do you see yourself doing after porn? Do you think it would be hard to get to another industry because of your work? I want to direct my own movies, so I don't have plans to stop working on it the minute. Okay, she says she wants to direct her own movies. You already know what I just said about that for me. So I don't have plans to stop working in porn at the minute. I think I'm going to work in sex throughout my life by being a sex worker, directing movies, writing, giving talks about it. Me too. Me too, 100%. Count me in. There's so much to do that I can't imagine not being close to porn or sex work in general. I can't imagine it either for myself. I'm just saying. I'm an animal rights activist. I'm part of the NGO Animal, and right now I'm doing a 13-week fellowship in Cornell University called Alliance for Science representing veganism. Nice. Nice. I love her caring heart. Yes. And I don't say that to patronize. I mean, she has a caring heart. And that's what I want people to understand about sex workers like her and soon to be sex worker such as myself. We do have caring hearts. They all know that I am a sex worker, makes porn. They're okay with that and they support me. These people rock out loud. They really do. I am not interested in being in an industry or in a group where they don't accept people working with sex, so it's not a big concern for me. Yes, Maria. Yes. Yes. Say it. Say it. Woo! I feel that. I can talk about building a career in porn. It's not easy. You have to work a lot to have it. I'm willing to deal with that myself because we're okay. For the very, very last time in this episode, I'll say it the other times, the type of porn I'm into. But yes, I don't mind, working a lot to have it, not being easy with a career in porn because I am ethical porn minded. I am feminist porn minded. I am alternative porn minded. I am independent porn minded. I am positive porn minded. I want to be an ethical porn maker. I want to be an independent porn maker. I want to be an alternative porn maker. I want to be a feminist porn maker. I want to be alternative porn maker. I want to be a positive porn maker. Okay. I want to be a filmmaker in the worlds of ethical, independent, alternative, positive feminist porn. Okay, I'm done. Okay, I don't have to repeat myself no more for this episode. Great. How easy it is to build a career out of porn and become financially stable? I don't know how easy it could be to build a career outside of porn and sex work because I've never tried it, but I could talk about building a career in porn. It's not easy. I have to work a lot to have it. People sometimes underestimate the abilities of sex workers. They think that you have to go and have sex, and that's all where they're. People sometimes underestimate the abilities of sex workers. They think that you have to go and have sex, and that's all when there are a lot of things that they're missing from this picture. You have to be dedicated, be willing to sacrifice the best time, money, and personal things into it, and be strong because of the moral view that society has about sex and sex work. Sometimes you have to travel to a country you don't know to meet people you have never seen in your life, to talk in a language you're not used to, and be smart to have the ability to adapt yourself to different situations. For example, I think people don't realize it, but I have to travel to Europe a lot from Argentina, and it's a waste of money. I leave a lot of things behind, but I have a passion about working with directors who I admire for being a part of this emerging movement of ethical porn. So I do it anyway with lots of happiness. Maria Rock, I love her. She thinks just like me. I love this. How do you feel about all the different groups of people who speak for you in the media about porn but have no experience working within it? I think it would be great if people could only talk about things they really know about. How about that? It's my personal opinion. Sometimes I have people tell me how porn is, but they never worked in it. And it's really frustrating. They read an article in a newspaper or see a video about porn. They think they know everything about it. That is, society is so arrogant. That's me saying it. The media also represents sex work with a moral view, generalizing things and giving the wrong conclusions about how the industry is. The public believes what they say and repeats it. Stupid ass talking parrots is my view.
What do you want people to know about the reality of being an adult actor? I want people to realize that sex work is work. Yes, sex work is work, and it should be treated that way. Yes. I want people to realize that sex work is work. That's the truth. And that people who work in adult films are only working and trying to enjoy what they do. That's fact and truth. Porn performers go to the supermarket. We have families, feelings, desires. Sometimes we don't want to have sex. We just live our lives the best way we find to do it, just like everyone else. Have you ever appeared in adult films that affected you negatively? There are films out there I don't like that much. Some things that I would have done differently without starting, so I didn't have an experience. You grow up and you read the things you said or wrote in the past, and sometimes you think, why did I say or write this? And it's better to realize that you could do better. Otherwise, you just stay in the same place. For me, it's important to progress, to learn, to be critical, and to change things that you want to improve in yourself. That's true. I think in my case, because I'm not knocking anything she's saying, I really appreciate her spirit. Because I, in my situation, I'm not saying she didn't do this. Because of me thinking a lot about the kind of films I wanted to either be in, adult, because of the kind of adult films I wanted to be in, and the kind of adult films I want to assist behind the screen, off screen, I thought about how I would really take the time to get to know people. Get to, if I like them, I will have sex with them on screen. If I like them, I will assist the films off screen, right? Because if we're really get along that well, then the boundaries would not be blurred at all. The boundaries would have to respect it. So I have thought a lot about this subject before I decided to do these kind of things. And I figured out if I ever do adult films, I know I would never regret or have remorse for any of them because I would really make sure that the people I'm around are not snakes, whether it's on screen or off screen. No snakes. They're all trustworthy and we're all accurately depicted and we're all mutually respected. Plus, I took the time to read, and I'm not saying Marie didn't do this. I'm just talking about myself only on this. I have already studied adult industry performing rights and adult industry rights. I've studied these things. I've done episodes on this. Well educated. Know exactly how to do it. So any and every film I'll be a part of on screen and off screen, I know I would never feel disappointed because I've educated myself that much, that well. I've read interviews, I watch videos, I have done research on society and sex work, and I've learned everything. I know sex workers' rights. I understand that world because I took the time to learn it. Plus, as a healthy voyeurist, I would never be in dehumanizing voyeuristic situations. As a healthy voyeurist, all of the voyeurism would be sound-minded. So I had time to think about voyeurism because that's what we do when we watch people have sex. That's our voyeurist in us at work, right? So I have a healthy relationship with voyeurism. And as exhibitionist, I like to be naked in front of people, right? But when I say healthy, you understand there's no such thing as illegality in whatever it is I'm doing. When I say healthy, there's no such thing as illegality. There's no such thing as a lack of consent. There's no such thing as a lack of equality. There's no such thing as lack of respect. There's no such thing as lack of trust. There's no such thing as lack of safety. There's no such thing as a There's no such thing as lacking safer sex practice. There's no such thing as lacking safe sexual practice, safe sex practices, and just physical safety and internal safety, right? So when I say healthy, just remember those are the same things I'm talking about, okay? I lack all the bad shit, all right? Okay. But let me keep going. I am not a full-time porn actress, just something I do sometimes because ethical or feminist porn is not really an industry in itself. Well, I know that I can definitely make ethical feminist porn an industry in itself, right? Would I ever be full-time? I think I would do it whenever I felt like doing it. Because if you're full-time at something, sometimes you have to do it even if you don't always feel it. I would just do it whenever I felt like doing it. I don't want to call myself full-time or part-time. I'm the kind of porn performer in my mind. I do it whenever I felt like it. Because if I feel like it, I know I'm going to enjoy it. But if I'm full time, I may not always feel like doing it. And so I'm doing the film, I'm really not enjoying. So I'm kind of a performer. I do it whenever the fuck I feel like it. And whenever I'm on screen helping out with sex work, I would do it whenever I felt like doing that too. I don't want to be full time or part time that. I just do it whenever I feel like I want to do it. That's me personally. There are only a few directors or companies and to work with, and you have to be patient, put a lot of effort in. I'm very selective. Okay. There are only a few directors or companies and to work with, and you have to be patient and put a lot of effort in. I'm very selective too. I don't accept all the proposals offered to me. For me, it's really important to know that I'm working with an ethical company. I'm sorry, slow down, Antonio. You're getting too excited. That is me joking with myself. There are only a few directors or companies and to work with them. You have to be patient and put a lot of effort in. I'm very selective too. I don't accept all of the proposals offered to me. For me, it's really important to know that I'm working with an ethical company that has good values and that is going to be respectful to me and with the other people working with them. I also add working with me too. I'm really happy with all the movies I've made by now, and I expect to keep on working with a lot of amazing people doing great things to offer another vision of porn and sexuality. She's speaking my language. She's speaking my brain. That's the end of that article. I think I'm just gonna conclude the episode in this manner. Thank you, thank you, thank you.